Welcome to Steve Dale's Pet World.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
If you've got pets, he's got answers.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Steve can help. We're positive.
Oh, God, this thing is going downhill fast.
You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
Good morning, 6:39 on WGN, 7:20 a.m., WGNradio.com, where you can listen to us or watch us online. And we're talking cats this morning. Our telephone number, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. The amazing thing is, well, there are a couple things. First of all, if you call, you get to hear Jasmine, who says, "Hello, good morning, WGN," something like that. Or you could text us if you prefer at that same number, 312-981-7200. One of my favorite people is in the studio, actually, Dr. Colleen Kurrigan, who's a Chicagoan, but the next president of the American Association of Feline Practitioners. In part, we will talk about, we will definitely talk only about cats, and we will talk about cat-friendly practices, because here's the thing, Dr. Kurrigan, visits to the veterinarian for dogs, for cats, for birds, horses, ferrets, parrots, everything has been down and continues to slide a bit. But in the cat world, more than anywhere else, there are a lot of reasons why that is so, but the veterinarians who treat cats say, we need to do something about it. And in fact, you've done something about it that I think is pretty impressive.
Yes, the American Association of Feline Practitioners started the Cat Friendly Practice Program a couple of years ago, and it was basically started to try to develop a solution to the problem of cats visiting veterinarians less frequently when we know that there are actually more owned cats, far more owned cats than there are owned dogs. We feel that the lack of veterinary care is probably related to veterinary visit associated stress by the cat and frankly by the owner as well.
Well, that happens. So let me back up a step or two. So veterinarians said, in a way, we're part of the problem. We can make our practices friendlier for cats. And the thing that you allude to is that if the cat is stressed, the owner gets stressed. If the owner is stressed, the cat gets stressed. And it's kind of this circular thing. And nobody wins because, well, it's good the cat is there at least. They may not come back if they're that stressed. The owner, I mean, the cats rarely drive there. But the cats that do, they won't come back either. And in addition to that, it's not quite the same exam as that cat that rubs up against you and says, I don't care what you're doing to me, just give me more treats.
Exactly. So there is, if the entire experience is a negative one for both the cat and the owner, it doesn't promote future visits. So part of the cat-friendly practice program is to try to create a more positive experience so that it encourages future visits rather than discourages them. And we want to encourage visits because we feel that by cats not getting appropriate visits, they're not getting the health care that they really deserve and they need.
Actually, there's lots of data to show, and it's shocking, that cats are getting sick and dying of things that could have been caught early.
Absolutely.
And treated appropriately if they could. And not only that, it would be less expensive for the pet owner, because catching it early means the treatment could be less money out of your wallet.
Absolutely. We see a lot of cats over the past, I would say probably 10 or more years, a number of cats that we're seeing later in the course of the disease than earlier in the course of the disease that we used to see 20 and 25 years ago. And that does result in higher cost to the owners. And frankly, the prognosis in many cases is not as good for fixing those health mm-hmm. concerns.
Yeah, let's give an example, maybe kidney disease. So catching it early as opposed to seeing some significant symptoms, because that's the other thing. Cats, to some extent, unlike dogs, don't wave their paw and say, I'm not feeling well. You kind of have to figure it out. In some cases, I don't care how many years you've had cats as a pet owner, people at home generally can't do blood work out of their kitchen. They don't have stethoscopes that they walk around their house with. So there's no way. It's no one's fault. There's no way they can possibly know. They don't have the equipment you do.
Right. And the other issue with cats is that more often than not, changes in behavior, and those changes can be so subtle in a cat, and they're often so subtle that Owners may not even recognize them as significant, and frankly, veterinarians didn't recognize them as significant 10 or 15 years ago. So the more we learn about cat behavior, the more we learn that cats that don't feel well or cats that are stressed show it by very subtle, often unrecognized behavior changes that an owner may not even recognize. And then when the cat becomes sick, it appears that the cat got suddenly sick when in reality, that is not the case.
In fact, our telephone number, or you can text us, 312-981-7200. And along those lines, a text saying that my cat hasn't eaten for 2 days now. Is my cat just being finicky? Is this a concern? I have no idea about what the age of the cat is. It's from area code 708. But those kinds of things are important to consider. But a cat that hasn't eaten in 2 days, is the cat just being finicky, or are we talking something else?
It's possible that the cat's being just finicky, but I would be very concerned about a cat that has not eaten for 48 hours. Any cat that doesn't eat, especially if the cat is heavy to start with, is overweight to start with, is more prone to developing secondary liver problems that may end up being even more serious than whatever caused the cat to quit eating in the first place.
In fact, those liver problems you're talking about can be potentially fatal. Should this person see a veterinarian if the cat doesn't eat, like, right now?
Yes, absolutely.
Even though it's a Sunday, go to the Chicago Veterinary Emergency and Specialty Center or somewhere else, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So is that an example, though, of what you're talking about? So here is something not so subtle to you because you're a veterinarian who treats cats, but something that we might not think about. It could be dental disease. It could be GI disease. It could be a cat being finicky, but probably it's medically related is what you're saying?
Absolutely. And at the very least, it warrants being checked.
So the cat that goes to the veterinarian, that goes to a practice that calls itself cat friendly, what does that mean that you're saying, and there's a big sign on the door that says we're a cat-friendly practice? You go to the website, there's a big sign on their website that says we are a cat-friendly practice. I want to know what that means. I mean, do you put up a sign and say, welcome, cats? There's got to be more to it than that, and we'll find out when we come back. Right here on WGN, 720 AM, WGNradio.com. I need to wish you a happy Valentine's Day, Dr. Kerrigan.
You too.
Thank you, but I'm a little belated in doing that. And the folks from Freshwave say, happy Valentine's Day, too. And Cupid, if you have big plans even next weekend, like cooking a tasty meal or buying some flowers for the one who has a pet of your heart, maybe you made a big leap and bought them a puppy or a kitten. What? I hope not. There was a segment done on Fox News that astounded me, by the way. Essentially supported puppy mills. You can see it on my blog, chicagonow.com/Steve Dale. We are talking with cat veterinarian Dr. Colleen Kerrigan, who happens to be located in Chicago, and we're proud of that. She is also the chair of the board of the Treehouse Humane Society, and in addition to that is the incoming president of the American Association of Feline Practitioners. What is that organization, Dr. Kerrigan?
It's an organization of just over 3,000 veterinarians from all over the United States, and we actually have some international members as well. And our mission is basically just to promote the best healthcare for cats.
Yes, and one of the things the American Association of Feline Practitioners has done is say, all right, veterinary practices that want to be cat-friendly, and now there are how many across the country that have done this, can be cat-friendly. We're talking about upwards, what, about 1,000 that have their name in? Or
about 1,000, and there are some that are in the process beyond that.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty incredible. This is a fairly newly launched program. So veterinarians are saying we can do better for cats. So what are some of the things that these practices are doing to make a difference for all of us who have cats?
Well, they've utilized tools and taken steps to make the visit more positive for the cat, and that includes educating owners about how to best get the cat into our clinics, because if they're stressed by the time they get there, it's already off to a bad start. And then in general, making the visit more positive for the cat, and that means cat-friendly handling. Cats are a very unique species, and they need to be handled differently than other species. They're very frightened when they're in a veterinary hospital. There are strange sounds and smells and sights, and so they need to be handled quite differently than dogs.
Technically, the way the exam is done even, and we don't have to go into details here, you have different protocol than recommendations maybe than what you learned back in veterinary school as far as examining cats, and also the idea of getting them in and out as soon as possible. It's all about talking soft and low lighting and letting the cat essentially make the calls. And anyone who lives with a cat knows that's how it's supposed to go.
Yes, absolutely. And the Cat Friendly Practice Program is also about not just the facility and the way the cat's handled, but also we always encourage cat-friendly medical care as well. It's important that veterinarians that are cat-friendly practices understand the unique needs of the cat as far as nutrition and other diseases are concerned, and they've taken the steps to assure that that happens, and the program does require that they receive cat-specific continuing education as well.
You know, I just did a, and we've done some of these together too, but I was cheating on you. I did this with another veterinarian, one of those TV shoots, and the cat was brought out, and we sprayed Feel Away, which is a knockoff of a pheromone, a naturally occurring pheromone. It's a copy of that pheromone. It comes in different formats, including a spray. So we sprayed the exam table, actually not the table itself, a towel that went on top of the table. We sprayed and sprayed and sprayed, waited about a minute, and then brought the cat out. This cat was a completely different cat than previously, where we actually forgot the Feel Away, and we thought, let's start this over before the cat just gets completely upset. Bring the cat back. The cat wanted to go back in the carrier, so bring the cat back in the carrier, spray the and it worked. Something simple like that. So it's a matter of taking just some simple steps that veterinarians may know about but may not have thought about necessarily or may not be consistent enough in doing.
Absolutely. And also recognizing that every cat's different.
But a lot of it is also owner awareness, and it is about getting that cat into the carrier in the first place. So the carrier comes out, and oftentimes you need to join a health club for all the – you don't need to join a health club, actually, for all the calories you're going to burn just chasing the cat around the house trying to get the cat in the carrier. There's a better way to do it than that. So I know the American Association of Feline Practitioners has all sorts of free, which is my favorite four-letter word, handouts on such things as getting cats in carriers.
Yes, and a lot of that is available on our website, which is pretty easy to remember. It's catvets.com.
Catvets.com. Also some videos that can different people learn differently. So I sometimes prefer watching a video as opposed to reading a handout. So lots of videos up on that site too, correct?
Yes.
All right. I want to talk about Treehouse Humane Society. You are the chair of the board at Treehouse. And we have a text or two I want to try to get to as well. WGN Radio, you could text us, and people have now in a flurry. So I'll try to get to these quickly. How do you feel, Dr. Kerrigan, about declaw? And explain briefly what that is.
Declawing is, in a nutshell, the amputation of the third digit or the third bone from the toe of the cat.
So when you point at me and give me your finger, if you bend it at the last, not that finger, friends, and you bend it at the last digit, that's, you're cutting it off, literally.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
How do you feel about that?
I am opposed to declawing, especially as a means of addressing what is normal feline behavior. Scratching is normal behavior, so I am not a fan of declawing at all.
That was from area code 815. This is from 815 also. My 2-year-old cat eats anything, including cotton pillowcases? That's what it says here. That's quite the appetite. Not good.
Not good, but probably should be checked by a veterinarian to make sure that there is not a medical problem. Some cats do have a form of pica where they eat things that they shouldn't. They may be wool suckers or cotton eaters. Unfortunately,
so it might be just sucking on the material, which should be seen by a veterinarian, but it might be actually ingesting.
Some cats will eat big holes.
And that could be dangerous.
Yes.
It could lead to an obstruction. You'll end up at that emergency facility I talked about. So see your veterinarian.
For the wrong reasons, right.
Yeah, yeah. Treehouse Humane Society. We just have seconds here. You're the chair of the board. Treehouse, a nationally known, internationally known, all-cat shelter, building a new building, quite literally, on the north side of Chicago.
Yes, and we're very excited about it. We're hoping to break ground in spring and have the new facility up and running by late this year.
Yeah, I was at Animal Care and Control yesterday as a part of a Meet Your Match, they call it, for Valentine's Day promotion. So many people came out. It was wonderful. Last week on the show, we talked to the Northern Illinois transfer team, transferring cats, getting them out of there. By the way, Treehouse is a part of this deal, too. And saving so many feline lives as a result. You can hear that at WGNradio.com. Also, prior interviews we've done, like with Alderman James Kappelman, and about dancing with your dog, which is something Dr. Kerrigan will be doing later today.